This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about cancer stem cells. But first, obesity. Yep, it's on everyone's minds these days. And inevitably, when the topic comes up, the talk turns to losing weight. And though countless diets attest to the fact that losing weight and keeping it off really is hard to do, how many times have you heard somebody say, you know, if you want to lose weight, all you need is a little bit of willpower. Just don't eat. No one is forcing you to eat that cheeseburger. It's all in your head. Well, now there is new evidence that adds to the argument that body weight, including obesity, may really be in your head, but for a different reason. It may be hardwired into your brain. In a paper out today in the journal Science, researchers identify a brain circuit by which the hormone leptin regulates weight. Leptin actually changes the wiring in those parts of the brain that control appetite. So we start the hour today talking about the latest research on leptin and what that tells us about obesity. And if you'd like to join our conversation, 1-800-989-8255. Let me introduce my guest. Jeffrey Friedman is the lead author of that Science paper. He's the Marilyn M. Simpson Professor and head of the Laboratory of Molecular Genetics at Rockefeller University in New York. He's also an investigator with the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and he joins us on the line. Welcome to the program, Dr. Friedman.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Retrace a bit the connection between leptin and obesity for us.
My laboratory has been interested in this problem, as have many others. And toward that end, many years ago, we began studying a strange strain of mice known as the obese mouse, and this is a genetically obese strain of mouse that is so because of a defect in a single gene. 10 years ago, we identified that defective gene as being a hormone called leptin. So in the absence of leptin in these animals or in people, you can see a very severe congenital form of obesity.
Mm-hmm. And now you did some experiments with these mice to actually see how leptin affects the wiring in the brain?
Yeah, that's our most recent work. And what we find is that apparently leptin acts, at least in part, by reconfiguring or rewiring some key neural circuits in a part of the brain that controls most basic behaviors, including feeding.
Hmm. So that when you give the mice leptin, there you see what happens in the brain?
Well, neurons are cells in the brain that process information. And what they do is they receive information in the form of hormonal or other neural inputs, and then they transmit that information to other neurons in the brain. And there are a few key classes of such neurons in the brain that are known to regulate feeding. Mm-hmm. Some of these neurons increase food intake, others decrease food intake. Now, you could modulate such neurons any number of ways, but what we found is that when we give leptin to this particular strain of mouse, we change the inputs to these neurons in such a way as the neurons that normally increase food intake are inhibited, and the neurons that decrease food intake are potentiated, which is consistent with leptin's known effect in these animals to reduce food intake and reduce weight.
Mm. So you like open and close a switch, so to speak, in these neurons?
In a very loose way, perhaps a better analogy would be to think of a plumbing system. If you have a plumbing system, you could either change flow in a fixed system by opening and closing valves that would now change the way that the water flow is regulated. But you could also add and subtract pipe to accomplish the same end. And leptin, to our surprise, actually seemed to be working in part by adding and subtracting pipes or connections in this neural network.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that our body weight may be triggered to how much of this hormone we have in our bodies, would that explain why so many people have so much different trouble, you know, gaining and losing weight?
Yeah, I think the available evidence, of which the recent report is an example, would suggest exactly that. And the way the system appears to work is this. Leptin is made by fat tissue, secreted by fat into the blood. It circulates in the blood and finds its way to this brain region that regulates food intake and weight, known as the hypothalamus. And leptin is a signal in this system that acts to maintain weight within a range. And by that, I mean not necessarily a pound or two, but within a 10 or 15-pound range. Now, at an individual stable weight, they have a certain amount of fat and make a certain amount of leptin, and food intake is very precisely balanced against how many calories are burned, and the individual's weight is very stable. If weight were to fall, as might accompany a diet, fat would fall, leptin would in turn fall, and the new low leptin level would provides a potent stimulus to eat more, gain weight, and return to the starting point. And this is a basic neural mechanism that in many cases really overcomes whatever willpower one might otherwise have about trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. And so because this is made genetically wired into us, that would explain why so many people inherit it or have different problems with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that debate on this subject often in the lay public, at least, focuses on higher cortical centers, more complex parts of our brain that might express the conscious wish to lose weight. But
right.
It's known that every vertebrate, every animal on Earth has to regulate their nutritional status. And toward that end, a very basic system is also evolved that controls food intake and weight in every animal. Leptin is a part of that system. And yet that system, which we know to be very potent, is often ignored in discussions about why some people are heavier than others. But scientists such as myself actually think that the dominant factor, not necessarily the only one, but a dominant factor in controlling weight is this basic neural circuit.
Now, there was a companion paper, and not your research, but work also done on leptin at the Oregon National Primate Research Center and Oregon Health and Science University. And they found in mice experiments that when the brain in early development is exposed to leptin, that leptin induces how the brain is wired early on. That makes sense?
Yeah, I think the two findings are actually quite complementary.
Yeah.
And suggest that part of the way in which this hormone acts, both during development and in adults, is by subtly, or in some cases not so subtly, changing the wiring diagram to in ways that have the net effect to reduce food intake.
Does this mean that if you could administer leptin, I mean, it worked in the mice. Could it work in people if we administer leptin in certain ways? Could we control body weight?
Well, the strain of mice that we study make no leptin whatsoever, and they respond brilliantly to extra leptin. And actually, the same is true in a small number of people who also lack leptin. These individuals are massively obese, but can return almost to a normal weight with leptin. In the general public, and now I should mention that while these instances are very informative biologically, there are only 24 or so such individuals worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
If we now look at the rest of the population, what we find is about a third of the population or so would appear based on small studies to at least have some response to leptin, but the majority of people do not. And the reason they don't respond appears to be because they already make extra leptin. For some reason, in most obese people, the leptin they make doesn't work well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we now need to understand is, why is that? And understanding why that is will require first that we understand precisely how leptin does what it does, as a prelude to understanding why it fails to do what it normally would do in the obese state. And research of this sort is in part geared towards addressing that issue.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255. Would this, we mentioned a little bit, your research describes, makes pretty strong case for body weight and especially obesity being largely determined by biology. Would you say that basically the general population works that way?
I think that's certainly my view. I think that willpower and conscious factors, can be implemented so as to modify weight, I would guess, empirically in a 10 to 15-pound range. As weight changes in greater amounts are effected, the difficulty increases dramatically. And so by the time you're in a situation where you have to lose substantial amounts of weight, willpower really doesn't appear by itself to be terribly effective. And rather, this is about the biology of such people and not anything, in my estimation, having to do with discipline or the strength of their motivation.
Let me see if I can get a call in here. Trevor in San Francisco, welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, hello. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you? Go ahead.
Good. My question is, if you increase the amount of exercise that you do, would you have an increased amount of leptin in the body, thus lowering your weight level?
There does not appear to be any direct connection between exercise and how much leptin you make. On the other hand, it does appear, for reasons we don't fully understand, that exercise has beneficial effects in this system. The mechanism is just not known yet.
Is there a diet pill here someplace, a weight losing pill here someplace?
Well, I think that the premise here is that the more we can understand about this neural system and the more we learn about where the blocks are in this information flow in the obese, the more likely it will be that we can identify new types of treatments. And there's already, you know, numerous examples of inquiry in that direction in the pharmaceutical industry. So systematically, drug companies are trying to either block molecules that increase food intake or inhibit or potentiate molecules that reduce food intake. And I think that, you know, in the coming years, I'm pretty optimistic that a whole set of new opportunities and options will emerge.
Is leptin a simple hormone? And when I say that, is it not surprising that a hormone could rewire the brain?
Well, I think leptin is a hormone. It's what's known as a peptide hormone, which means it's a protein. And other than the fact that it acts on the brain, there would have been no reason to predict that it would have this property. You know, there's a long history of people seeing dynamic changes in brain circuitry and regions of the brain having to do with memory or learning, things where it would be more obvious that there might be rewiring. And I think we were a little surprised, but very intrigued by the fact that the wiring diagram of a system that controls something as innate as food intake would also have this sort of dynamic quality.
You know, there are people who are going to call up and ask or write in and say, are there any natural foods that have leptin in it? Are there sources and, you know, you can eat leptin and would it work if you could?
Well, probably not. Because leptin is a peptide hormone, your stomach and intestinal enzymes would digest it before it got anywhere near the place where it would need to get to work. Mm-hmm. So that in any and all studies in which leptin has been evaluated, it's had to have been injected.
Mm-hmm. And so where do you go from here with your mouse studies?
Well, there are a few things that we'd like to understand. First of all, we'd like to understand what the mechanism is by which leptin rewires these basic neural circuits. We'd also like to try to deduce the wiring diagram in other types of obesity. This leptin-deficient type of obesity that these animals have is a relatively rare one, and we'd like to see what happens in types of obesity that are more similar to the majority of human obesity. And then finally, we'd like to understand more about where these new inputs to this neural circuit are coming from in the brain.
So you haven't really looked at mice that maybe just slightly overweight but normal?
That's correct.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the reason for looking at these animals is they have a more extreme obesity and gave an opportunity, therefore, to look in a setting where we might expect a more dramatic result. But certainly it makes it very important now to understand what the range of possibilities are in other types of obesity.
But at least you're pretty certain of the pathways of the wiring of how it works.
I think these neural pathways are relevant in every animal and, frankly, every human that eats. And so I think anything we can do to understand more about how that system is organized is going to have important implications in time.
Well, Dr. Friedman, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Friedman is the Marilyn Simpson Professor and head of the Laboratory of Molecular Genetics at Rockefeller University here in New York, and he's an investigator with the Howard Hughes Medical Institution. We're going to take a short break, switch gears, and when we come back, we're going to talk about stem cells and cancer. You know, we talk a lot about stem cells, but we never have talked about their relationship to how they may be involved in cancer. This is really a developing field. We'll talk about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.